In the heart of little old New York, you'll find a thoroughfare. It's a part of little old New York that runs into Times Square. A crazy quilt that Wall Street Jack built. If you got a little time to spare, I'd like to take you there. Come and meet those dancing feet on the avenue.
This is Juno Afternoon. We're listening to the music of Harry Warren. We'll get to that in just a second. Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Our first guests are Laura Haywood and Tom Locher of Juno Cabaret. And we're going to be talking about this weekend's concerts at the APK. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thanks. Actually, it's Heather Mitchell. Laura couldn't make it today. I'm here
I'm
for
sorry,
her.
Sorry, Heather.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
But I'm here, Scott.
But Tom is really Tom.
And thanks for having us on the air again.
Thank you.
And it is nice to have you here.
Yeah.
We're going to get to all the details in a minute, but remind us when these concerts are going to be this weekend.
Saturday, December 1st, 2 p.m. at the APK Lecture Hall, 395 Whittier Street. And then followed by a concert on Sunday, 6 p.m. at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library.
All right.
Doors are 5:30 on Sunday and 1:30 on Saturday.
Yeah. And we'll repeat that here before we go. That's Tom Locher. You'll be on piano.
Piano and keyboard, bass.
All right. I'll Heather, what will you be doing?
I will be singing some of the songs, but probably my bigger job this time is to be, I'm the biographer and the narrator. So I'm going to be talking about Harry Warren and his life and contributions to the Great American Songbook.
All right. Where will you start with Harry?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'll start at the beginning because it's a good place to start. But, you know, one of the most important things that I've discovered both in research and just talking to people is when you ask people about Harry Warren, do you like the music of Harry Warren? Do you know who he is? And they go, who? I don't know who that is. I don't think I know any of his stuff. But the truth of the matter is that's couldn't be further from the truth. So he's one of the unsung heroes of great American popular music. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about all the great songs you think you didn't know that are by Harry Warren, and then also some of the sort of the factors, some of the you know, you could just say the serendipity that, you know, the things that created the situation where he kind of became such a prolific and successful but fairly unknown songwriter, even at the height of his popularity.
What are a few titles our listeners will recognize?
I Only Have Eyes for You, which has been a hit in every decade, I think.
Pretty much every generation has their version that they remember growing up with of that particular song.
How's that melody go, Heather?
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright.
Oh, somebody got Heather to sing on the air.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, but Scott smiled at me, so I figured, oh, I better.
No digital reverb or nothing. Awesome.
I recognize That's Amore. Right? Isn't
yes.
that one of his?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. That's one of the later ones that he did. Yep. That's yep. one of the latest later ones that he did. And so he did that. He helped Dean Martin, you know, gave Dino his signature song.
This seems like a lot of fun for you and your crew digging into this American songbook and these tunes.
Well, many of these songs we've already been playing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to try them in new keys and also to breathe new life into old standards. And I talked to you about how I'll be playing keyboard, bass, and piano, but I'll be joined by Clay Good on the drums. And we love taking these old standards and restyling them. And when we have these great interpreters of American song like Alyssa Fisher,
absolutely.
Heather, who's here in the studio with us, Erica Lee, and Margot Youngberg are going to be our singers, they like to have great fun building the arrangements too, because all the arrangements are presented as excerpts. We don't do the songs in their entirety, so we can present a lot of Mr. Warren's music at the concert.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do for you two as musicians when you learn the background? And maybe you already knew it about him, but what does it do for your ability to play the music?
I think I personally become enriched knowing more about the composer and their life and where they were in their life when they wrote a song or wrote a set of songs for a musical or when they were invited back to do something again or do something over. And we've had that come – that's been sort of a recurring theme in all the Great American Songbook composers we've covered is we picked the composers who wrote the greatest variety of songs in the largest number of decades, and you hear the music grow and change with every passing decade and every passing show. And that's fun to hear taste develop. and change.
Yeah, I bet. How about you, Heather?
Well, I think that the context is just hugely important. I think it's important both for, you know, when you experience an art or piece of art for the first time, what is your personal experience, but then also to kind of have an understanding of what the personal experience is of the person or persons who are creating that art. You know, I can look at a song like I Only Have Eyes for You. I can go to my mom and dad and I can ask them, what was it like the very first time, you know, maybe you were at the dance, you know, at the prom or whatever, and the flamingos sing it, and, you know, how did you feel? And so they have a very specific contextual answer for that. But if we were to look at Harry Warren's life or any of the composer's life, what were they doing at the time that they wrote this song or this musical? What were the circumstances? You know, was this in protest of a particular situation? Was this an answer? Was this a love song for someone else's wife? We've had that. You know, an unhappy marriage, and you write a love song, but it's not for your own spouse. So there, when you hear that stuff, you know, some of it feels, you know, a little like gossip. But I mean, but it's important to understand. Oh, I see. He was in this particular place, or she was in this particular place, and this is what art did to help them express themselves. And so you're enriched. You walk away going, oh, yeah, I know why. You know, I know what that song is all about now. And so you get to combine that experience with your experience, and then it becomes, you know, exponentially richer, really.
The things that Laura and Heather have taught me about the composers in the Great American Songbook also is the way the taste of the American public changed for these songs. Many of them in the 20s and 30s were used in Broadway shows. The shows aren't memorable, but the songs are. Mm-hmm. Later on, the songs are written to be woven into the plot and help move the plot along, which I didn't realize as an accompanist. Mm. I knew that's where all the melodies and lyrics are, Great American Songbook. But you find out starting in the 40s, these songs are woven into motion pictures and musicals and moving plots along and tying into script and star. And there's also when Laura or Heather narrate the background, you find out things about maybe record company politics, studio politics, money being made with songs on and off the hit parade and their position, you know, and how many times. One thing I learned in the Duke Ellington concerts that we did is somewhere in the world, at any moment, someone's performing a Duke Ellington song.
Yeah. When you learn about what's the impact of discrimination or rate, you know, ethnic, prejudice or racial prejudice, things that are impacting their experience, and we're able to kind of tell you some of that stuff as you're going along. What I'm going to spend a fair amount of time is talking about the impact of Hollywood on the music writing process and how things started to look a little different in the golden era of Hollywood in the big studios with their contract players. It changes the landscape a little bit, and will play into kind of Harry's, you know, Harry Warren and other writers' situations.
Tom, earlier you mentioned restyling. How do you approach that when you come upon some of these old tunes?
Well, jazz musicians have some training and experience in improvisation, and it's often fun to get with a singer and talk about their mood or feelings about a song and the lyrics in it and work with them to build an arrangement that explores a couple of styles. One thing that Heather and I have done many times is a bossa swing. You know, we'll take an old standard and do the A section of the song in a bossa nova style, and then the B section or bridge in a swing, and then return to bossa nova and wind it up. We also use the rubato effect, which is just piano and voice going very slow at the beginning or the end of a song to build it. You know, it's all about tension and release in performing live music. So,
very cool.
Yeah. We love to
a lot of fun.
We love to also explore Latin styles, jazz waltzes, and then swing. One of the things Erica and Heather and I were together a few days ago trying Chattanooga Choo Choo at different tempos. It becomes an entirely different song, slow, medium, and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
absolutely, and it's a challenge, but not a bad challenge. It's a good challenge when we have to excerpt these songs because we're taking what is kind of the normal customary form, you know, which can have a certain feel because you were expecting to be about a certain length, to all of a sudden, okay, how do we give them the amuse-bouche of this particular song and make sure you're not losing anything, you're not losing any of that tension release, but just putting it on the tapas plate, you know?
The best 98 seconds out of the jewel box of that song, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fun. Remind us who will be joining you again on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh.
Yes, well, we're going to have Alyssa Fisher and Erica Lee and Margot Youngberg are going to be singing along with me. And then I'm also going to be doing the narration about Harry Warren. We'll also have, as Tom said before, he will be on the keys and the bass. And Clay Good will be joining us on drums.
You've mentioned before the acoustics over at the APK here.
They're very, very good. And we found out in September at our first concert of the season, first concert weekend of the season, the other venue, the Menahal Valley Public Library, has a great, great sounding space. And we'll be back by the fireplace. We'll have concert seating set up. There is a grand piano in the library now that was donated by a local family. And it's a great place for a concert. We didn't know how vocal music would sound in there, but September we gave the Jerome Kern concert and the feedback was really good.
Not bad feedback. But yeah, ironic since it's supposed to be a quiet space, but it's super live in a good way. We've got lots of good sound. It's pretty funny.
We open the doors when the library closes at 5:30, and then it doesn't have to be hushed anymore.
And yeah, give us the details on both days again, please.
Yes.
Okay, so on Saturday we'll be at the APK at 2 p.m. in the lecture hall. Our doors will open at 1:30. And then on Sunday night, December 2nd, it'll be at 6 p.m. at the Menahal Valley Public Library. Doors will open at 5:30. And both of those performances are pay-as-you-can. So,
and they support Juno Cabaret, which is a nonprofit.
Yeah.
You're both probably on the board, right?
We're an Art Squared project under the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. So Art Squared is one of their new initiatives called Local Art for the People, by the People.
All right.
So. Yep. Jack Cake takes care of us.
Yes.
If somebody wanted to see these dates or check these times, where's the best place to do that?
Well, you can either go to www.junocabaret.net or you can check our Facebook page at Juno Cabaret.
All right. Well, it's always fun talking to you two.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us on the air. Yeah. We look forward to coming back and talking about our holiday extravaganza coming up the 19th.
All right. Looking forward to it.
The stars out tonight. I don't know if it's cloudy or